NHL teachers actually plays a very important role in the development and growth of young children. Given that young children, the most crucial sort of input for the growth and development will be from their parents, definitely, as well as their close relative. But nowadays, a lot of young children actually spend quite a lot of time in kindergarten. Plus, on top of that, they also have after-school cares and all this sort of time they have to spend away from the parents. And so early childhood educators plays a very, very crucial role for the overall development, of course, but also for the socio-emotional development of young children.
Your research is mainly focused in Hong Kong. What sort of education do early educators get in Hong Kong?
The early educators or the early childhood teachers will receive different types of training. All depends on whether they will be able to get into a degree program. There are degree-based, what we call the early childhood teachers. They are fully trained. They have basic sort of training in early childhood development and as well as early child pedagogy. Curriculum design and all this sort of thing as a full degree program, as a bachelor degree in education for early childhood. And there is also another layer of or another venue of training for those who would like to get involved in that industry. There's a provision of training course like in those what we call the vocational training institutes.
Your research has been looking at trauma. How much do early educators learn about childhood trauma?
In terms of trauma actually, it's got a very broad sort of the definition. What I'm really interested in is more of the emotional and psychological type of trauma.
So what would you define as emotional and psychological trauma?
Well, any incidents that actually cause discomfort to the child, and it may actually have some sort of psychological impact.
Can you give us some examples?
In terms of physical trauma, of course, when you experience a car crash or whatever, now you have a physical component or a physical injury. But at the same time, you also have psychological effect. And of course, that will be the trauma that more of the psychological trauma associated with the incident. There is other type of trauma that children may experience will just be quite common in a lot of families, like, for example, parents having dispute. So those are actually very traumatic experience for children, particularly for young children. They may not be able to express it. They may not be able to verbalize it, but nevertheless, there is kind of an impact on them.
So you said that children often can't verbalize what's happening to them. Are there other ways that they may express that they're going through psychological or emotional trauma?
Absolutely. A lot of young kids, when they have experienced that sort of emotional and psychological trauma, if they couldn't express it verbally, they will express it in another way, like in their behavior. They may actually experience difficulties in their sleep. They may actually have kind of what we call a regression. For example, young kids, very young kids, after they've gone through the training period, they could be able to control their bowel, could be able to control their dietary habit. But once they experience that sort of traumatic experience, they may actually have some sort of regression.
And are early educators trained to recognize these signs and symptoms?
Not that I'm aware of, particularly in Hong Kong, in the situation in Hong Kong, because early child educators or teachers, they're not, that it is not their role really in
So that's probably the domain of child psychologists.
Strictly speaking, it should be. No doubt early childhood educators or teachers, they do have some basic understanding and training in early childhood development. But in terms of identifying socio-emotional problems and sometimes emotional difficulties within the early childhood period, it's not that easy. And some of those teachers may just be sort of mislabeling just loneliness or sometimes it's other behavioral issues.
You've actually done a project recently where you've addressed this with early childhood educators. Can you tell us a bit about what you actually did?
Yes. The project I'm actually sort of conducting in Hong Kong is really to provide training in specific areas of socio-emotional development for early childhood educators, particularly in the aspect that we would like to enhance their so-called socio-emotional literacy. That means we want to enhance the understanding and the appreciation of the socio-emotional sort of development of young children. And on top of that, we also would like to provide some sort of help and support for the early childhood teachers and educators in terms of their own personal socio-emotional growth. So in a sense, we would like to enhance their so-called emotional intelligence so that they will be able to understand not just the children's development, but also their own personal need.
So it's all about getting teachers to recognize the emotions of their students.
That's right. Yes, exactly. That is really, really correct. We would like them to not just to recognize, but also to also enhance those positive emotion, and also to have some of the basic skills of handling some of the negative emotion. Like, for example, if a young child is throwing a tantrum in class, and sometimes the teacher may not really understand why the reason for that sort of behavior, and how to handle it right there. It may not necessarily need to be able to resolve the emotion, but at least if the teachers have some basic training in handling right at that moment and diverging the anger or the aggression in some other sort of way or in some other sort of venue, then that can actually be quite positive, because on one hand, the class will not be disrupted. On the other hand, the child will be able to, in a sense, protect it and in a safe environment. And also the teacher will be able to handle and also talk to the kids later on and try to resolve the emotion.
I understand there's plans to bring this to Australia as well.
We do actually have plan to bring it into Australia. Not that we don't have it in Australia, but just that it is not developed in a more sort of in a systematic way. Currently, I'm actually working with some of my colleagues in the Faculty of Health, as well as the graduate school here, to try to bring that concept into our training for postgraduate students, and also bring into the to be part of our research agenda.